Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you that indeed you keep pouring out your love even through people. We thank you that this morning we'll be able to learn that which you desire of us to be able to live in community amongst ourselves. We pray that let this word bear fruit and that we should be able to implement it, our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 It's a great honor and privilege to stand before you this morning, and I would like to thank Pastors Walker and Haley for giving me this opportunity to begin to minister to you, and I believe that we'll get to learn a lot and we'll be blessed this morning. Amen. I would also like to appreciate Pastors Benjamin and Pastor William as well for the support and giving me the confidence to be able to stand this morning. I also want to say a big happy birthday to my wife. She's indeed a cornerstone in my life, and I believe that she's supported me to be here. And I believe that we shall be blessed this morning. Amen. Awesome. This morning I would like to talk about living in community. And I believe that this is something that is important for every child of God. We live in a community or in a time where most of the times people live as individuals. We're living in a society where there's too much promotion of individualism. But I want us to look at what is God's design and purpose for us to live as believers. Because I believe that if we are to know the right way that God wants us to live, I think the best way to go, where to find this truth, is in the Word of God. And that's why we'll be able to see right from the book of Genesis chapter 1 how that God designed us to live. Amen? But also to help me introduce what we're talking about today, I want us to see a video of some of the things that we probably may be able to relate with. And I hope that you'll be blessed through this video. Your attention to the screens, thanks.
There's something exhilarating about a large crowd of people coming together. The energy, the excitement, the thrill of so many lives in one place at one time. And yet, when the crowd disperses, it's amazing how many leave and go their separate ways, feeling alone and disconnected, not only from others, but also from God. The average person today has around 314 Facebook friends and spends up to 3 hours a day on social networks. Yet simultaneously, this generation battles with loneliness and depression more than any other and are living fragmented and disconnected lives. God intends for so much more. From eternity past, God has existed in community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God has enjoyed a perfect relationship within the God family. And then, at a point in time, He made mankind. And He made us in His image. And in His image, we are wired to experience community.
Thank you very much. So we see from that video, talking about how that God's design for us is to be able to live in community. And God does not just talk about it, He Himself lives it. Because He is God, one God in three persons. And we see Him, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But then, in practicing and probably implementing this, God then says, let us make man. Proving that He lives in community, He just does not do it by Himself. If we read in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 to 27, I'm reading from the NLT. The Bible says that God said, let us make human beings in our image. To be like us, they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. The two things I would like us to notice there. The first thing is that, yes, God lives in community, and He says it, let us. He's not just deciding, say, God the Father decides, I would do this by myself. But he says, let us, including the Son and the Holy Spirit. But the second thing he also does there, he then says, let us make man in our own image. And he just doesn't make this man as in the male figure, he also makes the woman. And obviously we would quote rightly to say, when the Bible says, it is not good that man should live alone. It is not good that he be alone. He made him a helper. And obviously we quote it correctly in the context of marriage. But also besides the context of marriage, I believe we can see in there that God designed for man to live in community right from the start, even before the fall of man, even before sin came in. But the question is today, what are you doing alone as a believer? How are you growing by yourself? You walk into church and you walk out. Probably you are one of those that rush out. You walk in late, you don't even hear the announcements. You probably even miss praise and worship. But then you run out. How are you growing as a believer by yourself? It's mostly said, no man is an island. But truly, we live like islands today. God's plan and design is that we live in community. I want us to look at some of the benefits of living in community. The first one being is that when you live in community, it provides a spiritual family and support that encourages you in your walk with God. Living in community provides a spiritual family and support that encourages you in your walk with God. There are times in your walk with God when things will be tough. There are times in your walk when you're so discouraged you don't feel like praying. Who is there to support you? Who is there to pray for you? Who is there or who is there that you can reach out to? Or are you living like an island? In Galatians 6, verse 1, it says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall in the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens. In this way, you obey the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ that the Bible is talking about? That we will obey when we live in community, when we help the brother that is falling or the sister who is falling, or we'll be able to share one another's burden. The law of Christ that the Bible is talking about here is a commandment that of love that Christ gave us. To say you should love your God. Besides loving your God with all your heart, strength, and everything that is within you, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. But how can you love your neighbor if you don't even know your neighbor or you don't even talk to your neighbor? And that is why we encourage him to say we should live in community. But then how are we going to live in community? The primary way we live in community in church, like here in Miracle Life Family Church, is through connection groups. But the majority of us shun them. But how are you going to grow? In verse 2 of Galatians 6, the Bible is talking about sharing burdens, carrying one another's burdens. If you look at the screen, you see a picture of a certain connection group, and that's in a hospital. One of their colleagues broke their foot, and she's probably seated in here right now. But she was not by herself. There was family to support. There was a connection group that was there to support. What about you? Who will visit you? Who will be there to support you? This is the community we're talking about. Being able to show forth the love of God. Being able to carry one another's burden. I can see Mr. Mwale even lifting the broken leg. Carrying the burden.
So there are times we trip, we fall. One of the reasons we struggle with sin and habits as Christians, the things that hinder us from achieving God's best for our lives, is because we think we can fix them by ourselves. Because you try to fix it. So before you come to church, you try to fix it. So that you can come to church thinking you're okay. But if it breaks you so bad, you even abscond service. And then do you know what happens? Because you try to fix it, and you're trying to fix it alone, you still go back in the same cycle. Do you know that cycle? Lord, forgive me. I will never do this. I beg, Lord, if you forgive me this time, I won't go back. The same thing happens. You go back to the same thing. Again, you get up, you confess, and then you go back in the same old cycle. The truth is this. If you could help yourself, you'd have done it already. If you could help yourself, you would have done it by yourself this time around. You need others. And I believe that's why God created everybody else. The people seated around you. They are there for your benefit. They are there to support you. They are there to help you stand. Amen. I'd like to tell you, you're going to see lots of videos today. So if you like watching videos, it's your day. So we're going to see another testimony. This is a testimony of Priscilla, who's talking about what are the things that she experienced. Because I don't want us just to talk about, oh, go to a connection group and all that. Let's hear from the people that have actually experienced it. Attention to your screens, please.
My name is Priscilla Chimambo, and I'm a member of the Charleston Connection Group. I was very hesitant about joining it, but what made me go was after I started taking my walk with Christ very seriously, I was very hungry, you know, for somebody to talk to. Most of the friends that I had been with, you know, were not in the same life I was now in, and it was very difficult, you know, to get what I needed. So I heard about the connection groups at church. My other problem was that really I was not a very sociable person. I was an introvert. So to connect with people, talk to people, it was very awkward for me. But I was really hungry. And when I heard the connection group being announced in church, I thought, you know, let me try it. But even the day I went, I was really all pins and needles. But I was welcomed very warmly. And I've changed. You know, my connection group laughs because there was a time they asked me what personality I was, and I told them I was an introvert, and they started laughing. But I talk now. I laugh a lot, and I'm very different. I suppose that's something that has come about. So they've become family, and through talking to them, at least I was able to get what I needed to get about God, understand more, because before, when I would read the Bible, you know, some of the things would just pass me over the head. And yeah, yes, you'd listen to Pastor Walker speak. He's a very good teacher, but there's some questions that I would have, but which of course you cannot raise your hand up and say, you know, Pastor, what about that, you know. So when I went to Connection Group, most of these things were explained, you know, and there's nothing like a stupid question there, really, you know. You're told things, and now they're my family, and I'm very happy. So I would recommend, especially for anyone who's just recently become born again, it's the best decision you'll ever make if you really need to grow and understand this walk with Christ.
Thank you. So that's the story of a life that has been changed because they made a decision to grow. We each have that responsibility to decide. And then we see from her story, she talks about how that she shunned away. She never wanted to connect or belong to what we're talking about in terms of connection groups. But when she decided, she went.
she got the benefit of it. Today she's a different person. She's got people she can call family, people she can reach out to. Like I asked earlier on, do you have such people? The fact that sometimes we're struggling as Christians today simply means we need help from other believers. Pastor Walker preached a sermon about boulders and knapsacks. If you missed that sermon, please buy it in the bookshop. Talking about how that there are certain things that, yes, you need to carry yourself, but there are others that you need others to help you and say, hey, I need help. Please stand with me in prayer. In Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging us to be together, to assemble together, to fellowship together as believers. We see that in a community, believers, in a community of believers, there's correction, there's encouragement, there's rebuke, there's truth, there's grace, there's love that is poured out to each other. And as you know, because of such an environment which is healthy, there is growth. Because anything that is healthy grows. Are you healthy? Are you growing in your walk with God? Because the truth of the matter is this. Growth without real health is unsustainable. So yes, you may be growing on one end, but are you still keeping a healthy environment for you to continue to grow, to sustain that? If you want to grow in your walk with God, pursue and monitor your health. And one way to do that is by joining a connection group. There you will find people on the same journey as you. People who will support you. People who will encourage you even when you're at your lowest point in life. They will be there for you. In the book of Psalm 1, verse 1, the Bible says, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and example, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers, ridiculous. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, his precepts and teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted and fed by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers and comes to maturity. Are we seeing that? The question is then, what company do you keep? Because if you're not with believers that will help you grow, then who are you with? Are you with a company that chokes the word of God? Or you're found with people that help establish God's word in your life? These are questions that we should be asking ourselves right now. And you check around. The second point I would like to bring to you with regards to the benefits of living in community is that it brings about a sense of belonging. Okay? A sense of belonging to a community is one of the deepest and most fundamental human needs. A sense of belonging to a community is one of the deepest and most fundamental human needs. Sometimes we are afraid. You're thinking, will they receive me? What kind of people are there? It's always good to take a risk. Just go. You will never know until you are there. And if you don't like them, you can go to the next one. You will probably fit into the next one. As opposed to just sitting down there, growth will not come your way. Just like food does not just rain into your mouth. You pick it up and you feed yourself. So if you want to grow, you will make the decision to do something about it. So much as we're talking about that, the sense of belonging to community is one of the most fundamental needs of a human being. Yet today we live in a day and time when it's hard to live in community because of so much individualism. People today are more or less likely to know, much less interact with their neighbors. To the degree that if a relationship exists, it tends to be superficial. Mostly fake. Not real. It's time to build real relationships with people that know you. That even when you tell them to say, I'm fine, they will know that, say, no, you're not fine, my friend. What is wrong with you? And they will help you. Because as believers, we tend to be the people who say, how are you? I am blessed of the Lord. And it ends there. How are you today? I am blessed of the Lord. Praise the Lord, you're blessed of the Lord. But what is it that is affecting your heart? Because look at this. Many of the times we cover this, whatever we cover ourselves with, and we see somebody falls, maybe in their walk with God, they backslide and we're shocked. How did that happen? He did not just fall like he fell from a tree. No, it has been happening for some time. But because we are not open to each other, because we are not real, because we don't live in community, we cannot notice that. You need to live in community. You need to. It's important. It's very, very important. And that's why when you reach out, there will be people that will help you. When you reach out, there will be people that support you. Because why? We live in communities. A few weeks back, there's a connection group in Minwood, Kwamwena, this side. One of the neighbors in their community, their house was burnt. Even the towels were burnt. Yes. Very serious. But then as a connection group, they did not wait for someone to give them an instruction. They saw the need. They stepped in. This person doesn't even go to our church or anything, but they saw the need to say, we are children of God. We can reach out. This family is homeless. They took a bed. They took some things there to be able to help and support. They reached out because they understand that we need one another. Let's not leave as individuals, as silos. No, we need one another. You need the person next to you. You need somebody in your life. And it's important. Sometimes we have issues in our hearts. We don't even know how to deal with them. There is somebody out there who's probably gone through exactly what you're going through, and they will be the best person to help you. But if you keep away, you won't get the help that you need. You won't get the blessing that is in somebody else. And you who seated on that blessing, who has got that advice that will help somebody, you're not doing that other person a favor by sitting on that help. I remember attending a connection group in Olympia. It's a young adults connection group. Actually, we were opening that connection group. It was the very first meeting. So I went there to support them and say, hey, let's do this. And so there was a young guy who sat right across the room. And he was talking about how that he did not know exactly which career to take, something to do with IT and all that. So he was debating on which course he should pick, and he wasn't sure about it. And he was saying, he was giving a prayer request. He said, please pray for me. Before we could even pray, the guy who was seated right opposite him was in a similar situation some time back. And he told him, say what? Exactly the course. He actually did the course that he needed to do. And he advised him, say, I think this is the best thing that will help for you. He got help. The answer to his prayer happened even before we prayed. Where? In a connection group. Somebody just across the room had the help. So you never know, somebody in this building may have the answer to your solution. But we just dash out after service. And you leave the help. The help also goes in its own car. and even drives past you. Probably even hoots at you when they're driving too slow. There goes your help. But you will never know that that was your help until we live in community. So I told you that if you love videos, it's your day today. We have another one. Here I would like us to look at this couple and see how they benefited even when they had issues in their heart, but they needed to reach out. Pay attention to your screens as we listen to this testimony.
Hi, my name is Major Alan Chitomfa, retired.
And I am Chuma Musutu Chitomfa.
For me personally, it's been awesome. I've been able to learn more about my spirituality as a Christian, and I've been also been motivated by the fact that most of the times you would feel a situation is just all about you, what you're going through, the challenges about being a Christian and understanding certain things. But then you get to meet people that have got similar experiences, even much worse experiences, and you get to say, wow, this is what the Lord can do in people's lives. And for me, it's been awesome. It's been great. And also as a member of Miracle Life, I've got to appreciate the church a bit, much, much more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everyone has shown so much love at the connection groups. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much of sharing. Yeah.
Yeah. And also when we first started coming to Miracle Life, we were very happy. We knew that we found the right church. But there was a missing link, and we didn't feel that closeness to the church. Mm-hmm. But when we joined the connection group, we found a family within the church. We found people that we had similar experiences with. We found people that we had relationships with now. And we talked and we shared things, heart issues, life issues that we thought we were going through alone. But now we've got a family that we can talk to and run to and share with. And it's helped us grow spiritually as well.
But, what's really, really nice is to be in an environment where you're in a church, but you reduce yourselves into smaller groups. And then you get to realize that through those smaller groups, the head pastors and everyone is still involved, because they still guide you on certain things, and you go through the sermons on the previous Sunday. That one really just builds me so much.
Right. And we pray for one another, we help one another, we build one another, and for me that's just awesome. It shows me God's love through different people.
Amen. We're able to see God's love through other people, even when they had situations, issues in their hearts, they still had people they could reach out to. And these people were a blessing, and they were found in a connection group. I hope as you're listening, you're making a decision to join one. Some recent studies, because today we're living in a time where most people are overly friendly on social media and all that. But some recent studies have shown that social media technologies like Facebook create an illusion of connectedness without actually providing any vital depth and meaning found in a real relationship. You agree with me that most social media friendships are fake, and they are not authentic. And you cannot rely on them as your support structure for community and growth. Well, to prove to you, after service, not right now, you can go and check the list of friends and check their profiles. Some of your friends were born in 1912. And I'm like, really? Their profile says they were born in 1912. They've been to Harvard. They've got 5 MBAs.
And I'm thinking, this guy has not even been to university, or probably they're in their first year. And I'm thinking, okay, when did you go? What, did you go in your dream or something? Lies, all fake. It's all fake. People on social media, they choose the right photo, the right pose to put up on the wall. Do you know why? It's not about showing their true side. It's not about that. But it's about showing the world what the world will like and accept. They will seem happy, feeling good, because now Facebook has gone to another level. They even tell you to explain how you're feeling. Feeling excited. Okay? But deep down, they have issues that are killing them. They have issues that are pushing them down. It's time to reach out to real people and not fake people. There are people in this place that we are joined to. We're not just coded by natural relationships. But we're joined together by spiritual, supernatural ties. We are not just friends. We are family. We are family. I also belong to a connection group. That's my connection group. I belong to one. They're one of the best people. They're one of the people that are closest to my heart. I reach out to them. They have so funny faces and lovely faces. You look at them. Well, I remember when we began our connection group, there was only one baby, Maya. Now our group has grown with more baby boys. We will be recruiting some baby girls if you want to. But these are my people. These are people I can reach out to and call at the middle of the night and say, man, I need help. I'm struggling. These are people who my wife and I can say, guys, can you pray for us? We need help. Yes, we're having differences. Things are not going well. These are the people I can call. Do you have anybody you can call? These are people who, when we met, I think I only knew one person in the room. And that was our leader. But eventually, we've bonded so well that we love each other. We just want to be together almost all the times. We spend our Christmases together. We feast together. We fight together. Yes. Because there are people with different personalities. There are those that are loud like me, but there are those that are very quiet, like some people you know on the screen there. But you know what? This is no longer just friends coming along. This is my family. These are people I trust. These are people I can tell the issues of my heart. I remember one time I was coming from a funeral. I lost a family member. It was a Wednesday when we met. I was so discouraged. We had lots of fights. I don't know why African funerals have fights. We had lots of fights. It was bad. It was crazy. Maybe my family fights a lot. I don't know. Maybe yours is better. But we had issues. I was so discouraged, I did not want to go. And I had every reason not to go because, one, I was tired. I was emotionally out of the place. But I decided to go. When I went, I felt loved. Not only did I feel loved, they prayed for me. I left my connection group much better than I went there. How about you? Do you have people like that? It's a question that you should ask yourself. In Galatians 6:10, a scripture I think Pastor William read, I was like, wow, lovely. It says, so let us not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we reap a harvest, a good crop, if we do not give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get a chance, let us work for the benefit of all. Work for the benefit of all. Listen to the next statement. Starting with the people closest
to us in the community of faith. That's according to the message. Now listen to the NLT what it says. It says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. These are the believers. For me, it's my connection group in the family of faith and everybody out here. Because look at this. In this auditorium right now, there's probably about 1,000 people. It'll be hard for you to show love to everyone as you walk out in the building. But you can be able to show forth love and accountability to somebody in a small group, in a connection group. And that's why we emphasize this, because it is for your good. It is for your benefit. Hebrews 2:11 says, so now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Amen. We are family. Yes, tell your neighbor we are family. And because we are family, we should live like that. We should live like that, praying for one another, building one another, rebuking one another, telling each other the truth. Because you love them enough to tell them the truth, not to hide them. You know they're falling off the cliff. You're saying, no, it's fine, you'll find your way that way. No, you tell them the truth. Because you love them enough. Because why? They are your family. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this we will know that you are my disciples. They all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How will others know that we are disciples? When we love one another. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus says. This verse comes to light in connection groups as you fellowship with other believers. In healthy relationships are built there. Not just on a Sunday in the foyer. Because in the foyer, probably you're rushing, all you're doing is just waiting for traffic. Because as you're discussing, you're busy checking the car park if traffic has finished. We say, oh yeah, I'm good. Oh, we're good. How's work? It's good. Oh yeah, they're good. How are you? Oh, good. How's the family? Oh, they're good. They're fine. You can see them. Oh, they're good. Yeah, yeah. All right. It's been good. Oh, we'll see you then. All right. Bye. And you walk out. Next Sunday, you come. The same thing. But even as you're walking out, you're busy thinking, how am I going to sort out that issue? How am I going to? I need God. I've got an issue. I've got a court case. I've got this. I've got... You people have got issues. You never know. The person seated next to you has got issues. And you might be the answer to their prayer. How? By simply giving a word of encouragement. But we can't do that when we run off just like that. My third point about the benefits of living in community is that in community, you are encouraged to use your gifts and help impact the world. In community, you are encouraged to use your gifts and help to impact the world. In connection groups, we believe we accept you as you are. We know you, but we don't just leave you there. We challenge you to get better. And that is key. So in a community, when you live in community, our gifts come to play. Our gifts come to play. Ephesians 4:11-16 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the fullness, to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be mature like children. We won't be tossed and blown by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love,
growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing and growing and full of love. We see something very important in this scripture, and that is the responsibility of the fivefold ministries. God has blessed us with awesome, awesome pastors. Pastors Walker and Haley, Pastor William, Pastor Benjamin. Awesome pastors. Only a few people agree here. We have awesome pastors. That's much better. We do. But look what the Bible says is their responsibility, among other things. Their responsibility is to equip the saints. Who are the saints? That is you and I. For the work of ministry. That is their job. So you and I are ministers. We should be ministering. Because we are being equipped to minister. We should be ministering. Everyone seated here should be ministering. You may be asking, how do I minister? Or who do I minister to? We're about to answer that question. Because you are called to minister. In one way or the other. You might be called to ushering. You are ministering. In the children's department, you're ministering. Is it worship? You're ministering. Hallelujah. You're called to minister. So number one, who we minister to is that we minister to each other as believers. So we first minister to each other as believers. If we look at verse 12, it says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. How do you build the church? We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We build each other by ministering to each other. I remember another connection group. All my examples are connection groups. You just have to like them, I guess, because that's what I'm talking about. Another connection group of somebody who lost, I think, a parent somewhere in Chinama connection group. It's a young adults connection group. They stepped up. They reached out to their friend who lost a parent. They prayed for them. They were there at the funeral house, giving support to their colleague. They were ministering to their friend. We minister to each other like that. So ministering to each other happens in a connection group as you fellowship, as you do life together. You cry together when things are not going well. You pray together. You laugh together. You celebrate victories together. That's living in community. That is ministering to each other. But the question is, why? Why should we even minister to each other? Verse 13 gives us the answer. Verse 13 says, this will continue until we come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. It will help us be mature as we minister to each other. We will grow. There is growth that takes place when you fellowship in connection groups with other believers. You have that opportunity to step right in, fellowship, and be built up. You have people in connection groups who will love you, accept you, and challenge you to grow. We have people getting saved, being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, even for the first time. If you look at the screen, there's going to be a picture of somebody probably you know very well. In the middle with the black is Lulu. She gives our announcements every week. Welcome to church, and she gives the announcements. This is when she got baptized. I remember one Wednesday evening. She was like, guys, I'm not baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't even speak in tongues in our connection group. I would love that. We're like, wow, great. We will do that. We will pray afterwards. We did the study. Thereafter, we prayed. She received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She speaks in tongues today. Where did it start from? A connection group. We minister to each other. Secondly, we minister to the hurting world. This happens in your workplaces, on the streets, in the communities, and also, this also happens in connection groups. Let me tell you this. Sometimes people think, we don't even do evangelism, we don't even do that. Let me tell you this. Connection groups are the platform for outreach in Miracle Life Family Church. The reason probably you're not seeing that is probably you don't belong to one connection group. Because, do you know why? We believe in connection groups that the best people to reach a community are the people of that community. Because you know the needs of that community and you're the best people to be able to reach out and be able to help the people there. This is not something that you should just watch from a distance and say, our mission statement is sharing Christ, cheering believers, changing the world. Jump right in. Be part of this. Join the winning team. Let's spread the gospel. Are you sharing Christ wherever you are? Are you impacting the nation? In Acts 2, verse 46, the Message Bible says, they followed a daily discipline of worshiping in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful, as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. This was happening where? In connection groups, in small groups, in their homes. It wasn't happening in the auditorium like this. No, in small groups. That is where the numbers were being added. That is where people were seeing, said, there's something different about these people. They love each other so much. They eat together. They live together. They support each other. They pray for each other. We see in the Bible when Peter is released from prison, where did he go? He didn't go to the temple and say, Lord, pray for... He ran to his connection group. Where are you running to? Robert Morris said this. As I quote, he said, the shallower your relationships, the more of them you have. Relationally, it is possible to be a mile wide and an inch deep. He said what? The shallower your relationships, the more of them you have. That's so true. Relationally, it's possible to be a mile wide and half an inch deep. Or a kilometer wide, I don't know the actual calculations, but if I'm to say a kilometer wide, probably a centimeter or half a centimeter deep. Some relationships are like that. Is that how your relationships are? Colossians 2, verse 2, says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ Himself. In Him lie hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so that no one would deceive you with well-crafted arguments. God's desire is that we have strong ties of love. Belonging to a connection group will help you have these strong ties of love with believers. With a church of our size, it is very much possible to attend church and never be connected. For many years, you can attend and just walk out and never serve, not serving, not doing anything. That is not God's will for your life. Don't be left behind. Join in. Jump right in. Join people who have decided that they will grow and they will make a difference. After hearing this sermon, what's your next step? For some of you, you have to make a decision. After this sermon, all you have to do is just walk out. Instead of dashing out, walk to the connection group table and sign up. Join a connection group. It's not just about hearing. It's about doing the word of God. For some of us, you need to go and pick up an application form and start hosting a connection group in your home. Those are some of my people there, enjoying themselves in a connection group, having family. As you can see, Eddie's enjoying that muffin. But that happens in connection groups. You need to decide. You need to decide. For some of you, you just need to open your home and say, I would love a connection group in my home. Sign up. The applications are down there. For some of you, you need to step up and say, I will lead a connection group. I'm available. There are a lot of us that can lead. Right now, we have 67 connection groups. That is not enough. That is not good. Do you know why? On average, we say an attendance of 10 people per connection group. That is only 670 people attending connection groups, against a membership of over 4,200. That is not healthy. Where are the other thousands getting healthy from? That's the question we should be able to answer today. And if you're amongst the thousand that is not in a connection group, you should be running out there after this sermon. Because this is for you. Growth is for you to become better. And that is God's will for your life, that we should grow from glory to glory. It does not happen by accident. It just doesn't grow like our teeth in the mouth. No, you have to do something. For some of you, you're already in a connection group. Thank you for being in one. And I'm glad you're growing. But you know what to do? Today, you need to locate that neighbor that doesn't go to one. And just pick them to say, we are going. You are signing up for one. Because I know it will help you. Seriously. We know some people. Because you know what happens? Probably we're driving out, coming to church on a Sunday in the morning. We just see this guy tends past our yard. You follow, you're thinking, he's driving too slow. I wonder where he's going. You just keep following each other. The next thing you realize, you're in the same car park and coming into church, but you've never seen them in your connection group. Follow them today. Tell them to say it is for your good. You need to be in that connection group. It will help you. For some of you, you probably may have tried one, and you're like, I didn't really fit. There are 67 others. I'm sure out of the 67, one will be right fit. Unless you are the one with the problem. Definitely. Go and find the right fit. This is meant for you. It's time that we rise up. It's time that we grow. It's time that we begin to live in community. Let's not just be seated and warm the pews. Let's rise up, belong to community, minister to each other, and minister to the hurting world. Let's rise up, serve. You are needed, in case you didn't know. You are needed in the kingdom to serve. There are many needs in this church. And one of them is waiting for you. Stand up and get it, and let's serve. It's time to rise and make a difference. It's time we let go and just get hold of God and His work. Let's help others grow. If it's not a priority for you, make it one today. Because we've seen from Scripture that this is important. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you desire that we live in community. We thank you, Lord,
It is your will that we live in community, that we be able to strengthen each other. We pray that you help us begin to build one another as believers. We submit to your leadership, O God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. As every eye is closed, in that moment of prayer, some of us are making decisions to say, definitely, I will make the step and go out. Yes, you have to. Obey the Holy Spirit. Obey the Holy Spirit. And make that decision. Take that step. But I'd like to talk to some other people. And probably you're here, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never accepted him in your life. We're talking about belonging to a family. And this family is a family of believers. You can only join this family by accepting Christ and making him your Lord and your Savior. And peradventure you're here, you've never made that commitment. You've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. And you're saying, Kandwani, I want Jesus in my life. I want to accept him. If you're such a one, just lift up your hand wherever you are and we'll be able to pray. You're saying, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I want to belong to this family so that I can live in community. We don't want you to go out just like that. We want you to accept Jesus today. This is your opportunity. Is anybody out there? Thank you. Father, we glorify you. We thank you that, Lord, you will cause this word to bear fruit. We thank you that, Lord, we shall live it. We shall live this word, not only for ourselves, but also to help others, to help others grow. And Lord, indeed, we shall begin to thrive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.